Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Now, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Late start for us today.
Happy Monday.
Happy everything. Everything is going on today.
Huge Monday.
Everything is going on today.
MLK Day.
Yep.
Inauguration Day.
Yep.
Last day of winter warm-up day.
Yep.
And college championship football game day.
That's right. Everything is happening today
is
on this Monday, January 20th.
Bad news, though. Quick note. I forgot the tequila. We were supposed to do tequila shots.
We were?
Yeah, I thought we decided that on Friday.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So, like, every, 15 minutes, we celebrate one of those four things. Winter warm-up, hey, bottoms up. And
yeah.
Then we do a shot.
Well,
I forgot.
I think if I had to do tequila, I think I would vom.
This guy's got
I think
I'm
gonna
vom
everywhere. Got the Irish flu today.
Oh, no.
It is.
He was hanging out with Scott Jagow and Matt Pajeski.
Yes, we will. We'll get into that too.
Okay.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Good afternoon to all of you. We're with you until 1 o'clock. Then the Dave Glover Show. It is a wonderful, splendid, cold day here in St. Louis. You can be listening on the Odyssey app. You know, put it on your phone, and then directly from the app, you can send us a voice message. We're also streaming live. If you want to look at us, we are on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Donald Trump is back in office. His inauguration happening earlier this morning, just a couple of hours ago, maybe a little bit less than that. He is now, again, the President of the United States, number 47.
And today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so a lot of you are off work today. Maybe the kiddos are not in school. Thank you for choosing us.
And TikTok was banned for about 14 hours. Then it came back.
And unbelievable.
Unbelievable. TikTok is back. And I said, Amy, that we should just go back to Vine. Vine was killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vine was the best app.
You know, there are so many things to celebrate today.
Mm-hmm.
Which one stood out to you the most? Like, did you remember all four, or were you most looking forward to the college football game and you forgot about the inauguration? Were you most looking forward to the inauguration? You forgot about MLK Day, or most looking forward to MLK Day, and so forth. What did you look forward to the most today? 314-436-7900. Text us.
Or the Odyssey app. Leave us a voice message. Selfishly, I feel like I'm supposed to say the peaceful transfer of power, which I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's the way it went today is the way it's supposed to go. Where everybody participates, all the former presidents are there and, you know, welcoming the new president. That's how it's supposed to go. So I feel like I should say that. I feel like I should say MLK Day. I feel like I should say Cardinals winter warm-up. I've told you, I am bandwagoning, Amy. I'm bandwagoning the Fighting Irish. So I am ready and very excited for the game tonight.
He's got his Notre Dame hat on.
Yep.
Okay. Can I just ask quickly, are you going to be able to have a beer to celebrate the game with Notre Dame? Or
no, I don't need to. I'm good. I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah.
Maybe some electrolytes.
Yeah. Electrolytes. Electrolytes. By the way, it's such a funny concept. This is of no pertinence whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it is such a funny concept that in the movie Idiocracy that They are so stupid that they have been watering their plants with basically Gatorade.
Is it Mondo? Bondo?
Brondo.
Yeah.
It's such a funny idea that people are saying, it's got electrolytes. The plants are dying.
Yeah.
But have you considered watering them? What? All right.
Yes.
So, yeah, it is a peaceful transfer of power. It, as we mentioned, Amy, and it doesn't matter if you like Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if you like Joe Biden or whoever the presidents have been in our lifetimes. There is something to me that is very special about a day like this. I have huge respect for the office. I have huge respect for the office of the presidency. Mm-hmm. And the way it went today is how things are supposed to go. And, you know, you get that little look. We've talked about this a ton. I am not a huge fan of the new president. That's OK. I'm allowed that. You're allowed to like him. And that's OK, too. But just the day itself, the ceremony and everything this is supposed to be, it really is a special day that we get to do this every 4 years.
Yeah. And it is amazing. It is a miracle. A miraculous concept of democracy to have a peaceful transfer of power between two opposing parties.
Yeah.
Who agree on the most foundational principles of democracy, which is our Constitution, which is the voice of the people, which is elections. And yeah, I mean, you've got to have a... It's even different than it's patriotism, but also like gratitude. And I do think patriotism, I think gratitude fits into that umbrella of patriotism because you're grateful for the country in which we live because there are so many people living under governments that are violent, that are truly oppressive, and they cannot get out. And that's why, for all of our faults, there are people from all over the world whose sole aim is to get them and their families to the United States of America.
Because you have that choice mm-hmm. if you're here. And yes, I know we complain that we do this every time there's a presidential election. We say, is this really the best we can do? Are these really the two best people that we can put forward? Well, probably not, but they are the people that we have chosen. You know, if you don't participate in the primary process, you really can't complain about what the final choices are when it's time to vote for president. But you have the option. You have the option to participate from the start to the finish. You can be there all the way. You can vote in primaries. You can vote for the candidate you like. And hopefully they get to be one of the finalists.
Yeah.
But the point is you get to do that.
And that's the thing is world history is violent and tumultuous and it is brutal battles for power. And what's so amazing in our country is that, as Michael Kelly and John Hancock will remind us, politics is a substitute for war. It just is.
Yeah.
So you can have strong disagreements and there are processes in place. There are branches of government in place. And even when things might not be respected or followed, at the end, the center holds. At the end, the center holds with Congress, the Supreme Court, the executive branch, and you can continue to vote people in and out, and those branches can check each other, check themselves. And again, like we said, so it is a celebration of our country that it's in place of violence, you have politics. And it's pretty amazing. And a peaceful transfer of power for the most powerful country in the world. This isn't like a country club where it's like, all right, Bob, now you head the tennis department. I mean, this is the most powerful country in the world, the richest country in the world. And it's a peaceful transfer of power from people with differing ideas and strong policy disagreements. And yet we do it. And that's kind of amazing.
Amy Marks Kors had this idea that we should give each other Trump nicknames.
Because so he is really good at nicknames.
I'll tell you something. I will say this for him. He is an objectively funny person.
Yeah.
He is. And his nicknames are incredible. Incredible. Some of them don't make any sense at all, but by God, are they funny.
They're funny.
So we have decided to give each other some nicknames.
Yep.
And for people here at KMOX, we have some nicknames that we would like to reveal to you. And we are going to do that when we come back. And if you have some Trump nicknames for us,
yeah,
anybody on this show or anybody at the station, feel free to let us know via text at 314-436-7900. You can also message us, of course, from the Odyssey app. This is Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Love that. I meant so much.
You know, Lion Ted. We call him Lion Ted.
Sloppy Steve brought him into the White House quite a bit.
But, you know, this poor, pathetic, low-energy guy. So I'm looking at little Marco, and I say, man, there's something happening with him. Little Rocket Man. Rocket fuel for the...
We call her Pocahontas.
These people that I'm dealing with are the worst people.
I mean, you gotta hand it to him. He is, like you said, Chris, objectively funny. And when it comes to nicknames...
Ew, don't call me Chris ever again. That's weird.
Chris Ronji.
Ew. I didn't like that. I hated that.
I think it's because I have Chris in front of a lot of the nicknames I gave
you.
So it was top of
mind. How many did you give me?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
What? I didn't know we were doing that many.
I got a lot. I had fun. I was laughing out loud because, like, Meatball Ron,
dude,
how do you come up with something so genius? And
I don't
again,
know.
That guy or the girl that tweeted that her boyfriend started calling her Meatball Tony, and how
so good.
Ronge now wants to meet a girl just so he can call
her
Meatball,
whatever, and have it stick.
Yeah. Well, this started, we kind of had this idea with nicknames because during the election, there were so many great nicknames. Little Rocket Man, I guess Kim Jong-un. But Matt Pajeski, for our boss, I think the first one you said was Slippery Steve.
Yeah, he's kind of slippery.
Slippery Steve Moore.
Hard to get a hold of. He's elusive.
Yeah. He kind of is sometimes.
Did anybody see him today?
No. I haven't seen him.
Case in point.
Yeah, everybody's off today but us.
Yeah. can I? So I actually gave Steve the one that Trump gave Jeb Bush, Low Energy Steve.
Low Energy Steve. Don't.
That's
not even true.
Low Energy Steve. It's not true, but it's just so funny because it's not mean. It's just descriptive.
He's given that to more than one person, hasn't he?
Yeah. I love Low Energy Steve.
So,
and he's not, our boss is not Low Energy.
I didn't give one to Steve Moore because I have respect for him.
Yeah.
So I have the utmost respect for our boss, Steve.
Yeah.
So I did not give
Low Energy Steve.
Low Energy Steve.
It's just descriptive.
I did. I don't know why, but I gave a couple to Matt Pajeski.
Yeah.
The first, I called, I don't know where this came from.
Yeah.
But the first thing that I thought of was Spineless Matt. I don't know, but he's not spineless.
He's not
no respect. Spineless. I don't get no respect at all.
Also, I came up with Dopey Matt. Uh-huh. Dopey Matt Pajeski.
That's pretty good. I'll give you a couple for Matt, and then you can go back to yours, too. We'll kind of go back and forth here. Raisin Brain Matt.
Raisin Brain?
Because he eats raisins.
Oh, my God.
And, like, Raisin Brain Matt. Like, he's got a small brain.
It's not bad.
Raisin Brain Matt's pretty good.
It's all right.
So dumb.
I also have Pointless Pajeski.
Wow.
And Pointless Pajeski over on the board.
That's getting personal now.
How do you feel about that one,
I don't
one,
feel
bud?
Too good about that one.
I'm sweating. I'm laughing so much.
That's rude. Somehow that felt really personal.
Because he's the producer.
Yeah.
It's like,
Pointless Matt?
No, Pointless Pajeski.
Pointless Pajeski.
The alliteration.
That's terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay.
It's all right.
I would never do that
Let's
to you.
Let's just get these out of the way.
All right. So, do you have any for us?
I've got Chris Wrongy because you're wrong about so much,
everybody.
But it's easy. I know this one's been done before, but Amy Marxist Kors.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
Amy
yeah.
Marxist Kors.
We get that one texted in a lot.
But a lot of alliteration, too, for me, that I think a lot of our listeners might agree with, like Airhead Amy.
Yeah. That's
Airhead
pretty good
Amy,
for you.
Yep. Airhead Amy Marxist Kors or Good for Nothing Amy Marxist Kors.
Good for Nothing is great.
Good for Nothing's a great nickname. Old Good for Nothing Amy Mark scores.
I came up with for you. I don't know why Goofball Amy came into my head.
Oh, yeah.
But
Goofball Amy's good.
Failing Amy Mark scores.
That felt personal. Ouch. Is that how Pointless Pajeski felt?
Yeah.
How about Garbage Amy?
That's pretty
good. I don't know why.
I know.
That's the first thing.
No, I get it. I came up with Lily Livered Amy Mark scores.
I love calling people Lily Livered.
So like, I
dumb.
Felt like that goes. Yeah, Garbage Amy. I can see that. Lily Livered Amy Mark scores.
All right, what'd you come up with for me? Because I know that you you came up with 8?
Or 9, yeah. So I got a few, and some of them are just your first name and some both first and last, you know? Like, the obvious would be like Dodgy Chris Ronji.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Low IQ Chris Ronji.
You stole that from him.
Did I?
He says low IQ for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Crabby Chris Ronji.
There you go.
This one doesn't make sense, but it was funny. Butterdish Chris.
Butterdish?
I don't know.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's like Meatball Ron. I think I was inspired. I was like Butterdish Chris. What about Crusty Chris Ronji?
Oh, there you go.
Crusty Chris Ronji
is
good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little crusty.
Old Crying Chris Ronji, too.
Crying Chris Ronji. Crusty Chris Ronji.
I cry a lot.
I think Callous Chris.
Callous?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've got some for our friends Hancock and Kelly, too.
Oh, I didn't even think of them.
I didn't either.
I think John Hancock could either be Hancock the Croc or John Hand Crooked.
John Hand Crook.
And, of course, Michael Kelly would be Smelly Michael Kelly.
Smelly Michael Kelly. What the,
dude. How many? So we got 4 years of nicknames, man.
Oh, my God.
4 years. 4 years of great nicknames coming our way.
Okay, so I had Pointless Pajeski and Raisin Brain Matt. I also had Nasty Matt, just kind of the alliteration of the vowels.
Yeah.
Nasty Matt. And then this is not true because Matt Pajeski is very, very fit and he works out. But I just thought Matt Pajeski.
Oh, like, yeah.
P-U-D-G-E. Yeah.
I'm going to be thinking about that the next time I'm working out. That's my motivation.
Call me Pudgy.
You could have just done like, Fat Matt. That would have rhymed too.
And I put like for like a tweet, like Pudge is all caps. Matt Pajeski. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which couldn't be further from the truth.
So we have a texter who's called me Lil Hat Boy Ranji. What?
Lil Hat Boy.
Oh, and yours is where are you running off to, Amy? That's the
Amy.
Best I got.
Run away,
texter
Amy.
Texter from a 573.
That's great.
Well,
if Trump had a nickname for Debbie Monterey, which he would never because Debbie's the greatest, yeah. I think it'd be Little Debbie. It's so perfect.
Oh, yeah, Little Debbie Monterey. Yeah.
Debbie's too nice, though. But it does not prevent him from giving nice people nicknames.
No, that's what I mean. He gives everybody nicknames. Yeah. I had Empty Head Amy. That's, I feel like Empty Head would be one he would call me.
Yeah.
Empty Head Amy Marks,
exactly.
Course. And her failing show.
That show's a failure. No one's listening to it.
If our friend Stu Mack in the newsroom, if he wrote a bad story about Donald Trump, he'd be Stu Hack.
Oh, that's really good. I do think you're right about John Han Crook.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And Smelly Michael Kelly. Yeah. Which, again, all of these couldn't be further from the truth because Michael Kelly is super clean.
Did you, you came up with some for the Dave Glover show.
I did, but they were a little quick. Dirty Dave.
Dirty Dave Glover. I thought of Devious Dave.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be a good one for him.
Loudmouth Wheeler.
That's what I had.
Did you?
That is exactly what I wrote down.
No, you did
yes,
not.
Yes, Loudmouth Wheeler. It's right here.
Loudmouth.
Right there.
That's
Loudmouth
amazing.
Wheeler.
Loudmouth Wheeler.
Yep.
Mind blown. This one, again, doesn't make sense, but just because of the stories, Hot Dog Andrew Stoles.
Yeah.
Hot Dog Andrew.
What did I write for Andrew? I just lost my page. Loser Andrew.
Oh,
that's what I put.
Mean.
Well, they're all mean. Ramblin' Rachel.
Ramblin' Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
She does not ramble, though, either. That's what's funny.
She doesn't.
I know. That's what's
she's
funny.
Very quiet.
Yeah.
And she's measured, and she's nice. She's the kind of person we should all strive to be.
I have Fat Finger Matt for Pajeski.
Wow.
I know. Because you're the producer.
Now with the pudgy.
No, but that's not true. But Fat Finger, because you have to work the board.
I really do. I wish that Ron DeSantis would become more of a national. I mean, he is a national figure, but he's kind of been, you know, off to the side.
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about Ron DeSantis, but man, if he does come back in a big way, we have got to make sure that the president calls him Meatball Ron Meatball Ron is so good. It's so good. And I wish he had not abandoned it for DeSanctimonious, because it's not as good. Meatball Ron is awesome.
You know why? Because Meatball Ron is concise. It's sharp. Ron DeSanctimonious, it's not catchy, because it's too much. It's cumbersome. I get it that it is clever in the sense of DeSantis and sanctimonious, and he thinks he's better than everyone. But Meatball Ron is so crisp.
And do we get to the origin of it?
Well, I know DeSantis is Italian, so is he like taking a shot at his Italian heritage, or does he think he looks like a meatball?
Well, he's short, right? Short and stocky?
He's short-ish, but I mean, he's not 4 feet tall. My guess is he's the height of the average male, which I thought is 5'9".
It's like 5'9", 5'10"?
Yeah. It's just that, I mean, Trump is very tall.
He's like 6'3" or 4", right?
And Barron's even taller.
Yeah, that guy better be playing basketball.
Hey, Ranch, I'm disappointed that you didn't include Pipsqueak with my name.
You know,
Pajeski would have been perfect.
I have been calling you Pipsqueak for a while.
Yeah.
So I want to stick with it.
Okay.
Like, that's not a Trump. That's a me nickname for you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's what you're going to be from now on.
I do think Trump might call Michael Kelly, like, horrible Michael Kelly, where it's just not particularly clever.
Probably Nasty Michael.
I like Nasty Matt, though, because of the A,
yeah.
The short A sound.
So if you have any nicknames for us and you want to give them to us, we are more than welcome or more than happy to take them from you. 314-436-7900. Go ahead and send us a text message. It is winter warm-up day. I'm going to hear a little bit from what has been said at winter warm-up. That is coming up on the show. We have Dennis Dodd, who covers college football for CBS Sports. Mm-hmm. He is going to join the show in just a little bit. We'll talk about tonight's national championship game. It is the Fighting Irish and the Buckeyes. Wow. It's going to be a good one tonight.
Do you think?
A lot of people think that Ohio State is going to run away with it.
So that's, I was just going to ask. I'm like, do you think that Ohio State's going to be just a blowout?
I don't think so. I think Notre Dame wins this one tonight, and it's not because
it's
I'm bandwagoning.
Team. Oh, sorry. I said it's God's team.
Well, if it's God's team, they're not winning enough.
Well, he's got to be fair. That would be unfair.
Yeah.
If they won all the time. You can't do that.
No. They haven't won in a long time, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since they've been a championship
team.
Are
you also bandwagoning the Bills?
No.
Okay. You were just doing that last night.
No,
I'm all in.
I hate to say this, and I will not I will not tell this to Scott Jago.
Yeah,
but I was kind of rooting for Baltimore last night.
Why?
I like Lamar Jackson. I like that team. Buffalo's fine too.
But how did you feel about the missed 2-point conversion? Mark Andrews? Is that
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, Andrews.
Andrews. Yikes!
Not good.
I felt
man.
So bad. That's where I always think. You know, we think of missed opportunities in life, and then you think of, you know, professional athletes and, you know, oh man, what a great life. Yes. But you do have to live with that for the rest of your life. And I know it's just a game and so forth. But I mean, the eyes of millions of people will remember you for that.
Yeah. And they're taking it out on you.
Oh, like that would, I just feel for him because it's absolutely brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, that's man.
And I know the thing the whole team could have played better to make it not that close, but you will always live with that.
And Lamar, he absolutely refused to put any blame on him. He said, I got to hold on to the ball too because he fumbled. He threw an interception. So he did the right thing. But man, whew, that is a tough way to lose a game.
Really tough.
I do feel bad for Mark Andrews. But if he were on my team, I would probably be I'd be giving him all kinds of nicknames right now, you know? That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ronji. Speaking of football, the national championship game is tonight. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports joins us next. Well, tonight, there will be a handful of St. Louisans featured in the national championship game. We've talked about Christian Gray before with Notre Dame and Gabriel Rubio, who was also on that very same team, and also for Ohio State, Jalen Pace, who is also from the St. Louis area. So a lot of people here will be paying attention to what happens in that championship game because this is a good football area. Also want to shout out Jeremiah Love as well. Let's bring in on the guest line this afternoon, Dennis Dodd with CBS Sports, who is covering college football, has done so for a long time. Very good writer and with us now on KMOX. Dennis, good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you guys?
Oh man, this is a big day.
Big day.
And we're totally excited. I have decided to bandwagon Notre Dame. And I get the sense a lot of people think that Ohio State will win this fairly easily. How do you see it?
Well, it's recency bias, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't have given Ohio State much of a chance to do anything 52 days ago when they were absolutely putrid against Michigan. I know this is a cliche a lot of times, a team meeting day or two after, aired the grievances, and just came out and played better. I think Ryan Day got across the point that he did in that post game, as bitter as it was, that we have a chance now to go in the playoff. It's still not acceptable at Ohio State to lose four in a row, and It'll be interesting to see 10 and a half months from now when Ohio State goes to Michigan, maybe as an underdog again, the chance for 5 in a row, how sticky a national championship is if they win tonight. But, no, they're very, very good. They're the best team in the tournament. They've got the most talent. They did, I thought, when the tournament started. But, again, we needed to see more out of them. Now they've won 3 games by an average of 20 points. So, yes, they should win the game.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, how the expanded playoff has kind of changed the algorithm for the championship game. I know, feels like forever ago when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. It was not good. It looked bad, but then they go on to win 13 games in a row. So a loss like that isn't necessarily a death sentence for a team.
No, and I think that's a great point going forward in this playoff. We've kind of saw it now that there are 7 spots annually that don't go to conference champions. This is only the 4th time we are assured of this now, the 4th time a team that hasn't won its league will win a national championship since we started this, started the BCS, the championship games in 1998. It doesn't happen very often. It's going to happen more and more. So you can't afford a second loss as Ohio State did. Notre Dame, because they don't play in a conference, not so much, but they've won 13 in a row. In fact, that was part of the story to the first question. Marcus Freeman reminded this team, they didn't talk about it the whole season, like just keep your nose to the grindstone, win your games. Going into the playoffs, he celebrated, but mentioned the 100-day anniversary of that loss shortly before they started the playoff, I guess his motivation, and look where they are now.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that Notre Dame is not in a conference, and it was James Franklin, the Penn State coach, that sort of he very much criticized them for not being in a conference, saying that they should be in a conference. Do you think so?
Well, let's first mention that anyone who has that take, James Franklin is probably not the guy to have it. He might want to participate in a conference championship game first before he says somebody should be in a conference. I think he's played in one. They've won one Big Ten title back in 15 or 16. No, I mean, Notre Dame has the best of everything. In an ever-changing athletic NCAA world, they still hold to that idea in some small way that sports are, a part of education. Everything else has just been professionalized. And I'm not saying Notre Dame players aren't getting NIL money, because they are. But it stands for something different. And it's not worth debating, because as long as they have access to the postseason, they're not going to go anywhere. Now we can talk about how they get $20 million that each team got for playing in this game. CFP rewards for the two teams that get in. They get to keep all of that. But as Jack Swarbrick reminded me, their former AD, that's those other conferences. That's how they choose to split up their money. We're not telling them how to split up their money. We get to keep it all. They could keep it all if they decided in that conference. Of course, it isn't that way. They have to split it. But, I that's not a thing going into this game, frankly, and it won't be for a while.
Well, looking at this game, with, as you mentioned at the beginning, just a few minutes ago, that Ohio State should win the game. What is going to put Ohio State on its heels? What does Notre Dame need to do to put it on its heels?
I'm glad you asked, because I have Ohio State to win the game, but underneath the 8 points, I have Notre Dame covering. Because I think they're going to play this game like they have the 3 other games in this tournament. They have dragged the opponent down to their level, kind of muddied it up. It's a hard team to game plan for, because there are some of their parts. They get a kickoff return against Georgia. They lead the country in takeaways. They lead the country in points after turnovers. Their quarterback beat Georgia as both the leading rusher and throwing for less than 100 yards. Their offensive line has been a mess because of injuries, but it has succeeded. You mentioned Jeremiah Love. Jeremiah Love, since that 98-yard run against Indiana in the opener, Notre Dame's running game has averaged 3.27 yards. That's not good. The one thing you put your hand on is they're really good defensively. They're going to try to limit the possessions, try to hold on to the ball, get first downs, keep it away from Ohio State. And frankly, the blueprint for an upset, he's 22 years old, if you guys remember this, in the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State, in a similar game, was a big, big underdog to Miami. That was a forever Miami team. Just like Ohio State, a lot of draft choices on it. And Ohio State, limited possessions, made it a game in the 20s. Miami had 13 possessions in regulation and scored on four of them. The other nine, turnovers, interceptions, punts, blocked field goal. I assume you're going to see a lot of that tonight, and Ohio State's going to win one in the 20s, something like 23-17.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, with us here on KMOX. And the first round of this new format of the 12-team playoff, and this is the first year that we've had it, got a lot of criticism from people because there were so many blowouts. I didn't think much of that. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I think a lot of people overreacted to it. How do you feel about the new format the way it is, and should there be 12 teams in it?
Well, as I reminded people after there was the uproar over that, in the previous 20 semifinal games that we've had in the history of the playoff, I think they're all decided by 18 points. That was the average. So number one, it's nothing new. Number two, as I recall in the NFL playoffs this year, there's a lot of blowouts. Nobody seemed to be screaming about that. It is what it is. The matchups are what they are. The 12 team, I've never covered a better season. I mean, it's easy not to overthink this. The games are more compelling. The games are more compelling later in the season. The playoff, I think, has been great. I think it's held people's attention. The bowl season, remember they said the bowls will be ruined by the playoff, this month-long slog of playoff games? The bowls ratings are up 14%. The game is very, very healthy. You got two teams in it who have two of the biggest alumni bases, are going to draw in fans. That place is going to be packed tonight. So, no, I think it's been a success. I have no problem with 12. I think it's great, more opportunities. And I told people I would stake my house on the fact they're going to expand to 14 and 26. I think that's going to happen.
Well, the only thing that gets better ratings on television is the NFL. College football does very well. The NFL is just an absolute monster. And Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame, his name has been attached to potential NFL teams in the future. And his response was, I haven't even thought about the NFL. Guys say that, but then they end up in the NFL. Do you think he will eventually find his way there?
Eventually, obviously, if he keeps succeeding, but I have the same thought about him as I did in Lincoln Riley when he was the hottest thing going. He went to three straight playoffs with Oklahoma, was the big guy at USC, and his name was just like this in the NFL. Boy, he's got to go. Cowboys were calling, and I said, Lincoln Riley's got, at that point, 20, 25 years to make that decision on the NFL. That's how long his career is going to last. He's got it rolling, absolutely rolling at Oklahoma, until he didn't. Now he's in some sort of trouble at USC. I don't think he'd be hired as a head coach in the NFL. But I think the same thing applies to Marcus Freeman. He's 38 years old. He's got 30 years to make this decision, if he keeps going like this. I just told you about the absolute number one school in terms of attention and hype. And obviously they're succeeding in football and allowing athletics to mix because he can get players in there. He can get players in the portal. He can develop them. So, no, I don't think he's headed anywhere anytime soon. His name has been linked to the Bears, but insiders close to him tell me that's not going to happen.
I wouldn't want to do it either.
the Bears.
I'm a Bears fan, and, man, what a – that team's
you walk into the locker room, you're like, listen, there's not hope.
Yeah, there's no hope. Don't even bother. Yeah.
Have you seen these tweets from making fun of everybody they've interviewed? I got one from a real tweet from the Lawrence Police Department. Chief so-and-so has opted not to interview with the Bears. I mean, there have been others. Oh, it's been great. God, it's been great.
What a joke.
Oh, no.
The organization's a joke. So, Dennis, a thing that we've spent a little time talking about on this show is the NIL situation, the money and the transfer portal and how confusing and how much of a mess it is. What is the next step of that? How does that whole thing make progress, because it is confusing, and you know, coaches are having a difficult time with it, and you know, the money is you know, has become a little cumbersome too. So what happens next there to make that more efficient?
Well, you've just extended this interview by 30 minutes.
Uh-oh.
If you want to. I'll try to summarize it as best I can. The sports, college sports, has been professionalized. We've lived that in real time. We've seen what it looks like. I've seen Shedeur Sanders drive to work in a Maybach. I've seen his gold watch. I've seen a roster made up of $20 million. Ohio State's roster tonight. Look at it. It took $20 million to assemble that roster. Do you care? Do you care on game day? No, the sport is absolutely the same. Everything else is details, whether it's collective bargaining, whether there's intervention from Congress, and you know, if they become unionized and become actual professionals under contract. I'm okay with it all because I feel like I'm living it right now. I've seen it. And these kids, they're still a shred of innocence for these 18 to 22-year-olds whose minds and bodies and philosophies and lives are being formed before our eyes. That's why college sports is so great. We get to cover that. We get to see these things. It's unlike NFL. I couldn't cover the NFL. The locker room is quote unquote open twice a week. Everybody who covers the team gets whatever the coach says when he comes out. There's no one-on-ones. College sports at least has that shred of innocence where it's still like that. And so if it gets professionalized, it's professionalized. We've already seen what it's going to look like now.
Dennis Dodd, enjoy the game tonight. I know you're going to. Again, you've picked Ohio State, but Notre Dame to cover the spread. So we're going to run with that. I'm going to run with that.
All right. Very good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Dennis Dodd. That is Dennis Dodd covering college football for CBS. And again, tonight, 6:30 is the kickoff. It'll be Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Or as on Dennis Dodd's Twitter, he took a picture of some fans. It's Catholics versus draft picks.
That's right. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Winter warm-up wraps up today at Busch Stadium and Ballpark Village. Cardinals season is getting closer and closer. This is KMOX. Yep, baseball season's coming up, baby. We are less than a month from pitchers and catchers reporting to Jupiter, wow, Florida. And then it will be the regular season not long after that. Are we doing kegs and eggs?
We have to.
We better be. No one said a word about it, and I'm looking forward to it. I love kegs and eggs.
When do we start talking about it usually? I can't remember. Man, I love kegs and eggs. You know what? It always sells out.
It always sells out.
Because we're there. You
because
and I,
you and me.
In person.
Yeah. People are there to see us.
And the Clydesdale.
And the...
This is one. Clydesdale.
Always one. Well, we don't have room for all of them.
Well...
Those are big horses, you know. Winter warm-up is wrapping up today at Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium. And this is one of those seasons, Amy, that I think people kind of have a healthy skepticism, mm-hmm, going into it because we're not exactly sure how this year's going to go. And we know the last two seasons have certainly been disappointing. One of the things that was discussed, there hasn't been a whole lot of movement by the Cardinals during the offseason. They have been trying to trade Nolan Arenado, and John Mozeliak said that has sort of held things up because they haven't been successful in doing it. Paul Goldschmidt is no longer part of the roster. He's now with the New York Yankees. And Wilson Contreras is moving over to first base. He is moving from the catcher position to first base, and he addressed that today.
I love these guys. I love the team. I love my teammates. I need to stick with them. And that was one thing that I told Nootbaar at the end last year. I'm not going nowhere because it's too easy for me to ask for to request a trade and be a coward and let everything behind. But I like challenges and I love the team. I love the guys.
And so what Wilson is talking about there, it is you're being asked to move positions. So because of that, you know, you're a catcher by trade. Mm-hmm. Did you consider wanting to play somewhere else? And he said no. He said that's not a thing that he thought of.
Yeah.
That he wants to be here. He likes playing in St. Louis, and he likes the challenge. I'm going to say something about Wilson Contreras. I think that he has been he's done everything asked of him.
Ultimate team player.
And he is as good of a team player as they have had in a very long time. He does whatever they ask him to do.
Yeah.
And I commend him for that, handling, you know, the I guess you'd call it a benching or moving him from the position in his first season, sort of getting demoted in that way to this now switching to a new position. Mm-hmm. He's done everything they've asked him to do, and it's not easy.
Do you think it was exactly like the conversation with Brad Pitt in Moneyball when they tell Chris Pratt he's moving from catcher to first base, and he goes, tell him it's not that hard. And the guy said, it's incredibly hard.
It's incredibly hard. Well, yeah, I do think it is incredibly hard.
I think this is, yeah, this is like Moneyball.
But in that position, that guy was just desperate for a job.
Yeah.
You know, Contreras has a big contract. You know, they brought him here to be a catcher, and they're asking him to move. Now, I'll say this as well. A lot of teams do try if they've got a catcher who can hit. Mm-hmm. And Contreras can hit. He's one of their best offensive performers. A lot of times they will, in the early stages of their professional career, try to move them from behind the plate to a position in the field, whether it's mm-hmm. third base or first or outfield. And the reason they do that is it will lengthen their career, because being behind the plate takes a toll on your body.
I know these guys are extraordinary athletes, and a lot of times growing up you've played, you know, a little bit of every position, maybe. Yeah. Maybe even you've even pitched. Who knows? However, once you get to the big leagues, it's so specialized to that position. How hard, not joking aside, is it to switch? Because the ball coming at you, it's totally different angles. Yeah. Your reaction, it's so much of its muscle memory is different. Has Contreras, in his background, have anything that shows, like, yeah, he might make this transition a bit easier?
Well, first of all, I think this is probably a really good question for Wheeler, who caught. And I don't know if Kevin played any other positions but that. So he could probably answer that question for you. I mean, playing a corner and really first base shouldn't be that difficult of a transition, because it's, you know, Joe Mauer did it. With the Twins, they took mm-hmm. him from behind the plate, put him at a corner position. Contreras should be able to do the thing perfectly fine, I would think. Anyway, winter warm-up almost over, which means spring training is coming up. Hey, that's it for us.
Whoa.
We had a short one today because of the inauguration coverage from CBS. Coming up next, though, the Dave Glover Show. And if there's anything you missed that you want to go back and listen to, you can do it straight from the Odyssey app. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Butter dish, Chris.
Butter dish?